The following is a rebroadcast of Straight Talk About Money. The market data in this rebroadcast is not current and should not be used for any financial decisions.
All right. One of the top firms in the United States is a company called First Trust. And one of their stars is a gentleman named Robert Carey. Bob Carey is a CFA. He's Chief Market Strategist for First Trust. He's been around about a quarter of a century, so he's been around a long time. You see him all the time on CNBC and the national publications, and we have been trying, probably 2 years to get Bob on. So we are very fortunate to have Mr. Robert Carey on with us today. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Well, the last time we heard you speak was before the elections. Now,
October.
Now, do you? You said you have a question.
Well, I do, Bob, because it was very, very interesting. And I have actually, of all the luncheons we go to and see the speakers, I actually saved the notes from this and have referred to it on many shows. But pre-election, and that was like probably close to the end of October, and you were speaking and you were looking at where you all were seeing opportunities for 2017. And according to this one great chart you had, healthcare was number one. Now, that was pre-election. Given how the election has turned out and the changes that we're going to see coming probably in 2017 and beyond, do you still feel that healthcare is as strong as you did then, or do you think that it's are you all taking maybe a little more of a wait and see attitude?
Well, that's a great question. I think the market is taking a wait and see attitude. It hasn't healthcare hasn't necessarily been the best performing sector in the wake of the election, but at the same time, I do think that the policy changes that the election could bring about actually is a positive, net positive for the healthcare-related companies that are out there. So I continue to like that sector. You're getting essentially the fastest earnings growth of all sectors in the marketplace, and right now the sector actually sells at a bit of a discount on a P/E ratio compared to the rest of the marketplace. But it's been really it's been risk on since the election. So it's I think sectors that have a little bit more cyclical exposure, small caps, things like that, have actually been the leaders.
Now, if it's selling at a discount, it's one of the few things that is, because we've had a huge market rally since the election, as you know. And I know one of your colleagues, Brian Westbury, was very positive on Trump winning a long, long time ago. I heard y'all earlier this year, he kind of predicted that time. I don't know where you stood, but what do you think about this market and about this rally that's taken place since Donald Trump won?
Yeah, I think, you know, the election, in our view, is an opportunity for better policy as it relates to economic issues in particular. So I think that the prospect of corporate tax reform, it's been out there for a long time. We've talked about it for a number of years. I do think that corporate tax reform was going to take on some urgency after the election, no matter who got elected. But I believe that with the Republicans controlling the House, the Senate, and now the White House, and I think that essentially all of that gets fast-tracked, if you will. In other words, I think it's going to happen sooner, and I think that's one of the reasons why the market has been rallying. We pay, our companies pay very, very high tax rates compared to the rest of the world when we take a look at the corporate tax rates. So corporate tax reform is a big part of it. I also think that we will see higher interest rates here over the next couple of years, and I think that essentially what's happened is we have seen capital leave the safety, if you will, a lot of uncertainty before the election, basically locked up a lot of capital, and I think a lot of that money is looking for a home right now. So I'm not that surprised the market has moved up as much as it has. There's no question that investors have been very, very nervous all year long, pretty much since the beginning of the year when we had the big sell-off in January and February. I think investors have been on the defensive, and now that we've got the election behind us, I think it was time for the market to rally, and I think this rally makes some sense.
Now, you had a blog last week, and you were talking about the possibility that investors were still underweighting equities. They played it very, you know, very close to the vest, and played it, and may have been overly cautious over these last several years. Is that still true? Do you find that investors are underweighted equities?
It is. I still think it's true. I think that essentially the individual investor has not been active in this bull market. This has been the most unusual bull market. I go back to the mid-1980s when I started my career, and typically individual investors go from being bearish at the market bottom, and they eventually get back in the market. And we haven't really seen a lot of evidence of a sustained lengthy period of time when individual investors just simply are putting every last dollar they have in the market. We haven't had one of those moments yet. We had it back in the late 1990s. We had it middle part of the last decade to some extent, but the public is still cautious. I think the conversation I had last week with a financial advisor is very characteristic, I think, of a lot of individual investors. They feel like they've missed out on this market rally since the election, but they're afraid to get in. And that's the thing about bull markets, is they don't let you in typically until the very end of the bull market cycle. And that's been my concern all along. The public has been playing it primarily. Most of the money that's gone into the market from individual investors has gone into bond funds, or it's just simply stayed in cash and cash equivalents, treasuries, things like that.
So do you expect an investor to get in, or is it possible, Bob, that they just stay out and this market just kind of flattens out? I don't see anything that to really be driving the market higher, and it just seems to be going higher each and every day. And I for one, can't quite figure it out. I've been around 40 years. But I also don't see much on the headlines that could drive it lower.
Over time, the market's trajectory is earnings-based. And, you know, it's interesting. We're speaking here today. It was 20 years ago that Alan Greenspan gave his famous irrational exuberance speech, where he said the market was overvalued. And since that time, the S&P has essentially tripled in price. And as it turns out, the underlying earnings of the companies that make up the market have also tripled. So, the markets, over the course of time, need better earnings. And I do think that we have better earnings as we look out to 2017. I think that is largely what has driven the market here in the second half of the year, is the market beginning to anticipate what's about to happen.
So, I don't know. I don't quite know what this quarter. We had five negative quarters of earnings as far as corporations were concerned, declining earnings. Did this last quarter come out to be a little bit better?
It did. We finally got essentially a quarter that was pretty much in line with the kind of earnings growth that we've seen over the long term. You're correct that we did have a couple quarters that were down to flat, and it looks like here in the fourth quarter earnings are going to be up about 6% compared to the same quarter a year ago. So I think that the negative effect of a strong dollar, low energy prices, you know, obviously a lot of companies in the S&P and the energy index, that segment of the market has depressed profitability significantly here in the last couple of years. But we've reached the point now where profits have stopped falling in that part of the market, and the rest of the market, most industries are seeing better earnings growth, and we're finally starting to see some numbers coming in.
Okay. If you'll hang on, Bob, but on the other side of the break, I'd like to talk to you about small caps, which seem to be on fire lately, and I'd like to know whether or not that's going to continue. So, folks, if you'll stay with us, we've got Bob Carey with us, Chief Market Strategist with First Trust. We'll be back in a moment.
The following is a rebroadcast of Straight Talk About Money. The market data in this rebroadcast is not current and should not be used for any financial decisions.
We are fortunate this morning to have with us, if you're just joining us, Mr. Robert Carey. Bob Carey is Chief Market Strategist for First Trust. First Trust is considered by those of us in the industry as one of the more trustworthy companies to work with, and they're a favorite among investment advisors. Bob has appeared throughout the United States and Canada. He's been on all kinds of programs He is one of the faces of First Trust, and we are pleased to have him on with us this morning. Bob, before the break, kind of alluded to the fact of the really strong rally that we've seen in the small cap stocks, and I mentioned in the first segment this morning that the valuation multiple for the small cap S&P 600 soared to 19.9 from 17.4 in the month of November, which is pretty significant. And it's now at its highest level of the current bull market. The purpose of this article that I referred to this morning in the first segment, the title is "The Trump Rally in the Stock Market May Be Turning into a Bubble," and the author was using the rally in small caps as perhaps potential evidence of that. Do you agree with that?
I don't. I think small caps essentially underperformed for 2 years, in 2014 and 2015, and I think that we were due for a better year in the small cap space. The one thing to keep in mind with small caps, the earnings recession that we talked about in the last segment for the S&P 500 didn't actually happen for the small cap indexes. So basically, you've got an index with earnings that were going up for 2 years, but the index didn't go anywhere. It actually went down. And so I think a lot of what's happened this year is we've had a bit of a bounce back in the sector. Yes, the price-to-earnings multiple is higher for small caps right now than it is for large caps, but at the same time, you also have better earnings growth going into 2017. The earnings growth rate is almost 3.5% right now as of this morning, 3.5% higher for small caps than it is for large caps. So some premium, if you want to think of it that way, I think makes sense in this environment. If I saw that multiple at a higher level, I would be concerned. But at the same time, this is a segment of the market that I think was essentially overdue for a decent year, and we finally got a good year in small caps.
And do you expect to continue?
I do. I think at least for the next couple of years, I think small caps, especially with a backdrop of better regulations perhaps out of Washington, improving tax policy, I think investors are going to be looking for more domestic plays, I think, over the next couple of years. And most of the revenues, most of the kind of the geographic footprint of small cap U.S. companies, of course, is in the U.S. So I think that essentially is where investors are going to be looking for opportunities here for the next couple of years.
Okay, and in your blog, you mentioned interest rates, and I think your belief is that interest rates are going to go higher. I think that's pretty much across the board now, and I think last week they put the number at 98% probability that rates would go up this month. But you mentioned in your blog, and you didn't really go into it, that there were alternatives for people looking for income. What alternatives out there do you see that? You have a lot of baby boomers, as you know, that are retiring each and every day. There's a whole new set of 10,000 of them, and they're retiring or turning 65 at least. A lot of them I don't think are as retiring as they thought they would. But people are looking for income. What are some of those alternatives that you mentioned?
Yeah, a couple of asset classes within the income markets that we favor right now. One of them are the senior loan funds. A lot of these portfolios are experiencing increases in yield because we have seen the Fed raise interest rates. Things like LIBOR, other short-term interest rates, have been reset higher and are expected to go higher over the next couple of years. So essentially, the risk in the bond market, the risk in income, is duration. And so investors need to minimize duration risk in the years ahead. The other asset class within fixed income that we happen to like is the preferred market, and those preferreds that have a fixed to floater feature in them. So in other words, these are fixed income investments, but at some point in the future, these are going to reset. These interest rates will change and reset as rates go up or down. And if you think that rates are going to go up over the next couple of years, the impact of having something that is going to begin to perhaps sell at a higher yield in the future minimizes some of the interest rate risk or some of the duration risks. So fixed to floaters in prefers as well as senior loans we think are great complements to an income portfolio. And obviously dividend-paying stocks as well. There are a lot of companies out there that pay decent dividends today, and a lot of companies have obviously earnings to back up those dividends, and I think you're going to see investors continue to seek out dividend income for part of their portfolio. So I think the key, you know, historically, I remember going back to the mid-'80s, and investors would sell their stock portfolios or sell their stocks, and they would just simply buy bonds, and they would sit back and get their income that way. I think that the reality of interest rates as low as they are makes that prospect of just simply selling my stocks to buy bonds, I think that there needs to be a little bit more of a diversified income approach, I think, for investors, especially as we look ahead over the next several years. As I said, we do think rates are going to go up. We do think inflation is going to pick up a little bit here in the years ahead. And the real prospect of outliving your assets for the baby boomers especially is a very, very big concern, and you can't completely give up on growth. You have to have things that are going to grow as well as part of your portfolio long term.
So okay, and that's really good advice. You and Peggy started out talking about health care. That was your first question that came from Peggy today. What other segments of the stock market do you find attractive? Because it seems like things are fairly fully priced out there. Are you interested in energy, for instance? Do you believe in this attempt by OPEC to try to get the rein in the production of crude?
They're going to have some success, I think, boosting the price near term. However, if there's anything we've learned about OPEC over the years is that OPEC should stand for oil-producing export cheaters. In other words, I think it's going to be very difficult for them to maintain discipline. I think there is a market share grab going on. Our production here in the United States is are essentially our break-even. Our productivity is growing rapidly in that space. And so I think that it's going to be very difficult for OPEC to control prices in the way that they may have in the past. And by the way, when the Fed raises interest rates over time, when the Fed begins to go through a tightening cycle, that also serves to put essentially a cap on energy prices. So it's quite often the dollar is strong, and if the dollar stays strong, that is a pretty significant headwind for energy prices. So I'm not a real big energy bull at this point.
We've got about 30 seconds left. Any segments that you like other than healthcare then?
Yeah, we like the technology sector. I think the tech sector has matured. It is a much bigger part of the economy than it used to be. More dividends, and I think investors can actually find some pretty good companies to pay dividends in that sector.
All right. Well, Bob, thank you so much for being with us. I hope you and
thank
your
you,
family
Mike.
Have a wonderful Christmas. And watch out for shoveling too much of that snow now. It can hurt your back.
So. Bye. Take care.
Thanks for being with us. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to a rebroadcast of Straight Talk About Money. The market data in this rebroadcast is not current and should not be used for any financial decisions.